Subject this morning is I am willing. Luke 5:12. I am willing. Luke, the 5th chapter and verse 12. God said here in the scriptures, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, or wilt, thou can make me clean. If God wants to, he could heal everybody in this building. He's not slack. He's not able. But Jesus began his ministry teaching and healing and calling disciples unto himself. Early in the Gospels, we see a high concentration of miracles as Jesus eagerly went about the work he had announced from the synagogues in Nazareth. Then still in the book of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 18, we see here that the Lord said, Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty that are bruised. In Luke chapter 5, we encounter a particular vivid portrait of his saving power as Jesus confronted a dreadful sight of a man stricken with leprosy. Now, leprosy is a type of sin. And the Bible's term, leprosy, describes a broad range of skin diseases, including psoriasis, lupus, ringworm, and we could go on and on and on. But the first thing that we must say about leprosy in the ancient world is that it was a horrible condition. We would compare that, or I would, to cancer. It just seems that once a cancer thrives and get a hold of, in a, you know, it's with you most of the time until you die. But the Lord has blessed some, even in our body, in my family, that has had it, and they are still alive, doing well, serving the Lord. So it's not a disease or medical problem that cannot that God cannot handle. But the more dreadful than the disease itself was the social and religious implications of being a leper. You know, and I don't know how long I'll live, but as long as I live, I can't comprehend why people would question when some children are born, you know, with all kind of problems. And I've said this is not the first time I've ever said it. I think everybody ought to make arrangements with the hospital sometime and go to these hospitals. But St. Jude, you know, it's, man, I tell you, I've never been the same since I toured that hospital. It's to see all of these children and have spent most of their life in that hospital and getting to go home on Christmas or Thanksgiving holidays. But that's all they know. And as the announcer on TV said, they are happy to go back there because when they're home, there's nobody to associate with, nobody to play with, nobody to be a child with. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of that school and outside of giving to the Lord, that's one thing that I do on a regular basis because I've seen the effects of it. And my kids could have been there. You know, it's if you've got a child and they can get excited over something, you know, and these children are in a place that is helping so many of them. And Lord, am I thankful for that type of a place. Now, in the book of Leviticus, I've read chapter 13 and 14, and we're not going to do that this morning, but a leopard was banished from all human contact and workplace, from the synagogue and the markets, cast outside the city to live in shadows. And these banishment hasn't ceased. I know a young girl, she's a beautiful young lady that works in a drugstore that I go to especially to see her sometimes. And what it's called, I don't know, but she's got the white spots all over her body, you know, her skin. So like, she had a skin graft or something. I'm not sure what it's called, but they are improving and some of her spots are fading, but she had to live with that for years. But she said, what makes her so special? She never blamed God for it. Amen. And she has told me many times. She said, Tony, I'm right where God wants me to be. Amen. If they never remove the spots, God made me and God saved me. And I'm going to keep living for him. Amen. You know what caused that young lady to say that? Grace. Yeah. Amen. Simply grace. Because most of us would have said, why me? Why me? And I try to encourage people, why not you? What's so special about me? What's so special about you? See, the only one that's special is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who can take my friend and take that away and snap your finger. Amen. He can fix my heart in a heartbeat or your illness. But I think sometimes when we have the condition that we are, that's what makes us humble. That's what makes us depend upon him. And we shouldn't want God to remove anything from us that would remove us from the throne of God. One reason for these restrictions with leprosy was the risk of catching. But it's also clear that leprosy represents sin. And unclean skin signifies the work of sin upon us. I have a body that is depraved because of sin. I have a mind that I got to struggle to keep on the things of God, thinking right, acting right. It's not easy every day because of one man's sin. Think about it. That beautiful little child is born into this world is a sinner. But praise God, if God decides to take that child home as he did two of my brothers, they're in heaven. But let me tell you something worse. The unclean skin signifies the work of sin upon us, the fruit of our own evil deeds and the sins of others as they have impacted us. rotten bones signify the corruption of sin that is within us. And as the leopard is the living dead, so are we. You know why? Ephesians 2:1 says what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Born alive, born spiritually dead. The leopard can't do much about their situation. But if you're here this morning and lost, you're one heartbeat away from hell. And you can leave this building this morning knowing you're saved.
Amen.
And he said, but, don't worry about the buts. God takes away the buts.
Amen.
Helpless and hopeless. This town alone, Carlisle alone, two towns I'm familiar with, the streets are walking. Dead men and women and boys and girls. But yet, the churches are full of programs, entertainment, instead of the gospel. Entertainment won't save you, church. It takes the hard facts that you are a sinner. You're going to die in your sins unless God intervenes. The poor leopard saw the horrible condition and therefore he ventured to come to Jesus. Sadly, many of us fail to see our sinful condition. We think we're all right because we joined the church, we were baptized, and I'm not as faithful as I could be, and I don't do this as good as I could be, but I feel pretty good about my situation. That statement bothers me terribly. Because you know why? Lost people get used to the dark. You know how we know? Do you remember a few years ago when they cursed on the TV and they beeped it out? No, you can't watch anything. It's just one curse word after another. The more clothes come off of the actors, the filter come out of their mouth, becomes number one show. And yet they call themselves Christians. And you say, oh, preacher, you're judging. I'm not judging, I'm just preaching. You can wire dressed down to your ankles and a bonnet that covers your face and that won't take you to glory. But Jesus died for sinners. I know he died for me because I was a sinner.
Amen.
And I'm still a sinner.
Yep. Sure.
My nature is sinful. I sin without any problem. I struggle to live for God. The leopard was not only horrible, but his case was also hopeless. Society has written him off and hope only to see him no more. All that awaits him was a misery followed by death. And every time that I see the news or I hear from somebody that says, especially in the family, my son died of an overdose. You know, the drugs, addiction in our schools are terrible. It's terrible. And I was talking to one of my members about this. So Sharon didn't, I don't tell stories and names both. But I went in this house to make a visit, and the young man, he's about 15, 16, somewhere like that, and And the parents of his girlfriend dropped him off, and they went straight into back the hall to the bedroom, and the door shut. He said, what's so bad about that? Can you remember when you were 15, 16 years old? And you and your boyfriend or girlfriend in a room by themselves with the door locked? Oh, they're just playing checkers, Brother Harold. Yeah, right. That parent is going to stand before God, brother.
Amen.
Churches and Sunday school teachers that won't teach it and preach it are going to stand before God.
Amen.
Just so fed up of hearing Christians saying, but that's the world we live in. No, that's the world you're part of. I live in this world, but I'm not part of this world. The leopard was not only horrible, but his case was hopeless. But, sinner, your case is not hopeless. You can be saved, and you can be saved today.
Amen.
If you're out of will of God, you can get back in the will of God today.
Amen.
Has God ever turned down a sinner that wanted to repent? No, because repentance comes from God.
Amen.
You didn't just decide one day, I'm going to repent. Repentance is a gift from God.
Amen.
But James said, you have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss. I believe in election as strong as anybody. But I also believe in whosoever will. If you want to be saved, it's because God worked on you, Warner.
Amen.
If you want to change your lifestyle, it's because God worked upon you, Warner. And if God worked upon you, Warner, everybody around you can dress like they want to, talk like they want to, drink, smoke, gamble, whatever. God will keep you out. But instead, they waste millions of dollars this weekend on Easter bunnies. Chocolate candy. Because I love my kids. Now, if you love your kids, you would be telling them how to be saved if they've never heard it. That's what love is. What do you want for your three kids, Pastor? I want them all to enter the gates of glory.
Amen.
The leper was not only horrible, but he was hopeless. But sinner, backslidden church member, you're not hopeless. You can make amends this morning, right where you are, when we give an invitation here in a few minutes. You can do it right now.
Right.
I'd say let's have 90 seconds of silence if anybody in here needs to repent of their sins and ask God to save them or to ask God to bring them back into fellowship. It didn't happen that quick. But when God does, you can't go back out this afternoon and do what you did yesterday. See, the fact is, Jesus, praise God, he is willing to save. You know that? Jesus is willing to save. When the leper saw Jesus, he fell on his face and said, Lord, if thou wilt, or if thou will, thou canst make me clean. So if you're here lost, all you got to say, Lord, grant me repentance, grant me faith. And you think God's going to say no? Because the only reason you called upon his name was because the Spirit was working with you.
Amen.
But instead, well, you know, I know I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not what I want to be, and all that other jazz. But I'm not like I used to be. You used to get drunk, and now you just drink. You used to take the hard stuff, but now you just smoke pot. What I'm saying, can you understand what we do? We grade sin. But it's a sin to do anything that this Bible says not to do. How beautiful was Jesus' reply? You know, he said, when that old leper said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And then you go to Luke 15:16. How beautiful was Jesus' reply? I mean, I don't think Jesus turned down anybody that asked him to save them. I may be wrong, but he said here in Luke chapter 5, very clearly, right here in Luke 5, verse 13, God said, "And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." How long was the wait? "And immediately the leper departed from him."
Amen.
Oh, preacher, I'm working on it. I don't care how good a worker you are, the devil works harder. He'll find an excuse, he'll find reason, you'll use anything, and you will justify it, and one day you'll face the Savior, and he will say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Why was Jesus willing to make this wretched man clean? Well, Mark says in Mark chapter 1, I think around verse 41, that he was moved with compassion. Mark tells us in the very first chapter that he was moved with compassion. What did he say? "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean." All you got to say is, "Jesus, grant me repentance. I'm a sinner. If you was to send me to hell right now, I deserve it. I have nothing to lean on except the blood of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
But the old flesh says, "Not now." A lady over to Carlisle, that she's as sweet as she can be. "See you." Calls me every once in a while. Her and Dora was real good friends. And she calls me and she said, "Me and your wife used to have some long talks." And she admitted that she didn't really take good care of yourself. I said, "Why would she say that?" But she said, "I care about you, Pastor. You need to start taking care of yourself." You know what that lady has for me? Compassion. You know what Jesus has for me? Mercy.
Amen.
You need mercy. Mercy that you have a perfect opportunity today and then tomorrow if you don't die, and day after day, when you decide that you're the problem, not the world, you're the problem, not our government, and Lord, there's nothing good I'd say about that. But God's the answer. God's the answer. Jesus is willing to save you, not because of what is in you, not because you are lovely and lovable, but because of what is in him. He is moved with compassion. Who does that? I mean, I left here Wednesday night. I went home and I sat in my big old lounge chair, and it took everything I had to get out of that chair. And I spent about the next hour or so praying and talking and thinking for God. And each day since then, I've got better. He will not only heal your friends, he'll heal you. Amen. He'll touch you. You know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you know, with your condition, there's really not much I can do. I can give you some pills, I'd give you this, but, you know. Why? The doctor's limited. But God's not. He raises the dead. He makes a lame man walk. He sees the blind see.
Amen. Amen.
See, he's got the healing touch. And we see in Luke chapter 5, the wonderful tells us, Luke 5:13 tells us that Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. I will. There's nothing Jesus can do. But remember this, as I brought it out in Sunday school. If I didn't, I should have. Jesus does exactly what the Father tells him to do. The Father gave him a number of who would be saved. Who would be this? Who would be that? Jesus carried it out exactly the way the Father said. There's got to be a sacrifice, son. I'll go, Father. And he was crucified for a no good sinner like me. And he's blessed me. He's blessed you. You're able to be here today. You may be in some pain, but you're here. And if you're here because you want to, you've been doubly blessed.
Amen.
But he tells us, put forth his hand and touched him and saying, if I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
Amen.
See, what this means for you and me is that there is a cleansing for us. No matter how horrible the scars upon your heart are, don't make any difference what you've done in the past. It makes no difference how you mishandled everything. You start today saying, Jesus, take my life. I turn it over to you. So how do you do that, preacher? Before you make any decision on anything, you find out what God says about it. And God simply said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, notice what he says here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. I want us to see that verse. He tells us here, for when for the time ye are to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. Wouldn't hardly anybody, because of certain reasons, I just, you know, because you don't always know what's going to happen, but I preached a good message on the radio last Sunday. And I had a family call me. And I mean, I spent an hour, it seemed like an hour, on the phone with them. So I've never heard almost anything you said tonight. But you gave scripture for almost everything you said. You know what that is, church? That's a blessing. That's a blessing that, don't make a difference who's preaching, that you get on a radio and on a sermon audio and potential hundreds or thousands could listen to you. And you have the privilege sitting under that kind of preaching, whether you like it or don't like it, three times a week. So when Luke said here that Jesus said, put forth his hand and touch him, saying, I will be thou clean. Immediately that leprosy departed from him. And what this means for you and I is that there is cleansing for you, no matter how horrible the scars upon your heart, no matter the wretchedness of your stench from your soul, no matter how unclean and defiled and impure you are. Because he said in Hebrews, as we read, in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, he said this, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Right. Even some of your best friends will throw up your past to you. I've had ex-church members do that to me. I said, well, you know, if you can remember that incident, you probably remember a few other things I said, so there's probably hope for you. And I walked off. See, no matter how you try at your very best to be what you know you are to be, there's somebody that the devil's got waiting for you to discourage you. But God said here in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, you know, he said, and they shall not teach every, let me get off of verse 11 on 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, isn't that wonderful that no matter how many times I go after I've disappointed God, he never reminds me of the sins he's already forgiven me for.
Amen.
That's not like human beings, are they?
Right.
If you spit on the sidewalk 20 years ago, they jot that down in their favorite little book. But God said, I'll remember no more.
Yep.
So as we close, in Psalms 103, in verse 12, he said, therefore the psalmist can sing. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that wonderful? So far have he removed our transgressions from us. You'll never have one time will God remind you of your past after he forgave you.
Amen.
question is not God forgiving you. It's sometimes you forgiving yourself is the problem. What do you think?
Amen.
Just forgiving yourself. Well, as we close, God has made a way. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was at a point of no return, and God reached down and pulled me out of the sewer and saved my soul. You know what is wonderful about that church? He's not a respecter of persons. He didn't do that because of me. He did it because of his Father who had chosen me in Christ. Amen. And one thing that God doesn't do, church, it's not like us. We buy something, we don't like it, we cry it on, let other people say, what do you think? Take it over to Walmart and they'll take it back. When God forgives you, he remembers it no more. What that means is when one of us fall down and that person asks us to forgive them, we owe them that. We owe them that. We ought to want to do that. Because the reason it was them and not you was because God showed grace upon you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Song leader, pianist, come.